You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Wednesday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. If you have missed the first 2 hours, Fritzy is not here today. He and his wife have taken their son, Jordan, up to Syracuse as he starts his college career. And hopefully Fritzy was emotional about it. The last couple of weeks, he would send me pictures of him with his son when his son was like a newborn or a year old or 2 years. And he didn't send it to the rest of the Danettes, but he would send it to me. And then I would go, all right. And then I would have to respond to all these photographs that he was sending of his now 18-year-old son when he was born. Yes, he.
Well, I mean, to be fair to Todd, by and large, the Danettes don't respond positively to family stuff. For the most part,
no.
There's a very small window of acceptable pictures from our personal lives that are allowed on the group before you get absolutely shredded or completely ignored.
Yeah, unless you're making fun of your siblings or your son or daughter, wife, then it's best not to post anything that's really positive. Like, hey, my daughter, 4.0, nobody cares. But Todd sent the picture. I mean, we do care, sort of. But I'd rather hear stories when your kids do something silly. Because those are the stories. My kids go, hey, the other Danettes share stories about their kids doing positive things. You don't. I go, yeah, I know. It's called content, kids. Content. If you got something negative, I'm all ears. It's all about content, kids.
Keep it real.
Yeah, yeah, too. Mentioned this in the first hour of the show. This from Jeff Snook. He is an Ohio State insider, and he had a story this morning. Ohio State's athletic director working on a plan to get five other Big Ten teams to participate in a 10-game schedule this fall. The athletic director is Gene Smith, and he has the full support of the school president. I don't know if he had the full support a week ago, 2 weeks ago, but does now. This is what the proposed format would be. Each team would play the other five Big Ten teams who are participating, and they would play them twice, once at home, once on the road. The season would start either September 26th or October 3rd. As of Tuesday night, according to Jeff Snook, Penn State is in, Nebraska's in, Iowa is in, and the group hopes to convince two other universities, notably Wisconsin and Michigan, to join in with Ohio State. A couple of things here. Ohio State's governor, Mike DeWine, on Tuesday approved high school football in the state of Ohio. But there is a really big advantage right now with the SEC, ACC, and Big 12. If they pull this off and the Big Ten doesn't, according to a source, there will be long-lasting ramifications for the Big Ten. What I was told this morning by a source who's given me all this information on the Big Ten and Pac-12 was there was indeed a vote by the presidents, and it was 12-2 because Iowa and Nebraska were the two that wanted to play. Iowa and Nebraska are involved with the other schools that may try to play in the Big Ten with this new proposal. Ohio State is just coming around to this. They're trying to flip Penn State and Michigan, which would lead you to believe that what I reported is true. If you must flip some schools, chances are you probably had a vote, 12-2. Illinois schools in Illinois are not going to be able to play. Illinois and Northwestern, because they have a different set of rules with COVID and testing positive, from what I'm told. But can they pull this off? My source texted me about an hour or 30 minutes ago and said he heard from a Big Ten coach who said 5% chance of pulling this off. But I was told the athletic director at Ohio State, Gene Smith, was the one who was leading the charge to not play football. So you had the presidents who voted, but I was told Gene Smith at that point did not want to play football. The Big Ten was basically trying to take over college football, not bully them, but lead the way. And then I think the Big Ten was shocked that the ACC, SEC, and Big 12 decided they were going to go on their own. Pac-12 was always in with the Big Ten, always aligned with them. And Pac-12 is not going to try to do something that the Big Ten is doing. But understand this. The athletic director at Ohio State is looking around his own campus. He's got a defensive back, the parents of a defensive back, whose last name is Wade. His dad is going to go to Big Ten headquarters in Illinois on Friday with other parents to protest this, not being able to play football. And you have Justin Fields, who is your star quarterback. He's got a petition where you got 300,000 signatures on there. So the athletic director has to look around on his own campus and goes, man, maybe we try to do something here. Maybe I should. Maybe the perception is I try to do something here. So just a story that came out. I don't know if it has legs that it's possible to pull it off. This might be too little too late, but that's what's going on in the Big Ten. As for the SEC, Nick Saban set to join us here. And is Coach with us?
Ready to go.
Okay. Coach, thanks for joining us. You know, we were talking about before you came on that I think you were at Michigan State for 4 years when Tom Brady was at Michigan for 4 years. What do you remember about Tom Brady at Michigan?
That's interesting because my last year at Michigan State, Tom Brady was a senior, and they had a guy named Drew Henson who was, you know, supposed to be a really, really good quarterback and a first-round draft pick in baseball, and they couldn't settle on who should be the quarterback. So we actually beat them 34-31, and I think they scored 31 points when Brady was playing quarterback, and they didn't score any when Drew Henson was playing. So that's what I remember.
and Henson was this two-sport star, and we didn't really know what Brady was. And then Brady gets drafted by Belichick and the Patriots. He's behind Drew Bledsoe, and then you go to Miami, and then you end up facing Brady a couple of times after that. What do you remember about that?
Well, we were actually 2-2 against the Patriots in the 2 years that I was, you know, at Miami. But, you know, the Patriots were always, you know, sort of the toughest opponent in terms of they had good players, but they were really well coached. They had really good system. And, you know, if Tom Brady was really on his game, you really were in for a difficult day. So that's kind of what I remember. And he's been a good player for a long, long time, and certainly a great ambassador for the sport.
What quarterback kept you up at night, considering all the great quarterbacks you faced, you know, college or pro?
Well, I think when I was a defensive coordinator at the Cleveland Browns for Belichick, you know, you had John Elway, Dan Marino, that whole crew, you know, that came into the league in 84 or whenever it was.
Yeah.
And they all, when you're a defensive coordinator, you know, you just really start, you worry about stopping the other team. So I had lots of sleepless nights over those guys.
Yeah, I think Elway might be the most talented quarterback I ever saw in the NFL because he had that strong arm. He could run, a two-sport star. You know, it was just when he lost Super Bowls, then all of a sudden you can't be the greatest of all time. When you're losing three Super Bowls, they put all that blame on him. But I still wonder what Elway would be like in today's NFL.
Well, I think it'd be he was the most difficult guy to defend.
Yeah.
And you mentioned the reasons why. You know, the other guys were all talented passers and very, very good at that part of the game. But when you try to defend someone and they're dual threat, they have arm talent, they can throw the ball, they can beat you throwing, but then they can take off running, scramble, extend plays. That creates tremendous problems for you on defense. And that's what John Elway did that the others didn't do. Whether he won or lost Super Bowls or not, if you're the defensive coordinator and you're playing them, you're not too concerned about that part. You're just concerned about trying to keep your job.
We're talking, is somebody cutting you off there, Coach?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Just had to.
Auburn fan?
No, I don't think so.
We're talking to Nick Saban, the Alabama head coach, and you're still scheduled to open up at Missouri on the 26th of September. You feel 100% confident that's going to happen?
Well, I think that the mindset with the players for a long time has been, you know, they're practicing, they're trying to get prepared for a season, really with a lot of unknowns, not knowing exactly what was going to happen. And so you almost felt like you were sacrificing your time for the season. But I think now, you know, everybody has really looked at it a little different. You have a schedule, you have a first game. Now we're back to investing our time in trying to create value for our team, for the individuals on our team, to create value for themselves and get ready to play football. And I think that's the only way that we can look at it, and really almost have to stop thinking about, well, this might happen, that might happen. Those things may or may not happen. No one really knows.
Yeah.
But at least we have a defined challenge now that we can look forward to, and that's the mindset that I'm really trying to get our players to take, because the uncertainty that we've had ever since March has created a little different mindset for everyone in terms of, yeah, we're doing all this work, but what's it leading up to? And now at least we have direction. So our organization is trying to get the mindset that we, you know, utilize everything that we can do every day. We're actually practicing now to try to take advantage of creating value and investing in our future.
Does it feel a little more normal, if you can apply that word to what's going on now with practice?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
A lot more. And even though we're not really having fall camp, we're sort of doing the 20-hour week, which is okay. We still have 25 practices. And so we're excited about the opportunity, and I think the players are as well.
What was it like being around you at home when you couldn't do anything football-wise?
Well, I was one of the few people. I think there was three people in our building that could come to work. So the first day that they said you should come home, you should stay home, I had a little Zoom set up, you know, upstairs in my little office. And obviously the reason that we were supposed to stay home is you're supposed to stay away from people. So when Miss Terry's crew came to work, about 17 strong, cleaning ladies, 2 yard guys, you know, accountants that come and do her books and run Nick's kids, I said, I'm safer going to work than I am staying here. So, and the one good thing that came from all this is I never had an email address. So people used to send her emails for me. And like the first day of the pandemic, she got like 500 emails, and she said, "You're done. I'm not taking any more of your emails. So if you want, if you want your information, get your own email." So I actually have an email now.
Whoa.
I've really made
wow! Look at you,
technological progress.
Here you are, approaching 69 years of age, I think, in October, and you finally got an email, Coach. Email address.
Oh, I got an email.
That is great. Yeah.
No matter how old you are, you can still improve.
Did you hear the story when your former running back, Josh Jacobs, was on our show last year?
I don't think so.
That's where he said that. Let me play it for you. This is what Josh Jacobs had to say.
Saban just like he likes to do a lot of like these nuts jokes. It's funny because like I haven't heard one of them since like middle school. And then Saban, when I went to college, Saban used to do it a lot.
So wait. Give me one here.
All right. So one day I caught like 5 passes in a row, and he was like, hey Josh, if you wanna hold all the balls, hold these. I said, what? So I just sat there. I sat there for a second. And I was like, did he really just say that?
Wait. He was doing D's nuts to you?
Yeah. I was like, Coach, I ain't heard this in movie.
Tua confirmed that story there, Coach. Would you like to comment on D's nuts?
Well, I like to have fun with the players. I think it's probably good to that they see you every now and then a little bit different light. Since I'm a defensive coach and I probably get on the defensive players a little bit more ferociously, it's a little easier for me to be lighthearted with the offensive players. And, you know, there's some guys on your team you just love, like Josh Jacobs, Tua, you know, Henry Ruggs. You know, that we've had a lot of really good players on offense that have great personalities and great work ethic, and you just love them. And those are the kind of guys I usually pick out to do all the tees and stuff.
I love it. We laughed when – I've been doing this a long time, Coach. I never thought that I would bring up that topic with you under any circumstances. But then after Josh and Tua brought up your sense of humor, and I said, I love hearing that story. So you don't have to apologize or anything. Or, you know, it was great. I got a big chuckle out of that.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad they – at least they remember something that we tried to teach them.
Well, good luck with the whole process there, Coach. And we'll be waiting for the 26th when you face Missouri.
Okay, Dan.
Thank you, Coach.
Best luck to you. All right, buddy. Stay safe. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Oh, I don't know if you saw the Danettes' faces when I asked the question. Paulie is sweating.
Oh, wow. Coach, would you like to comment on D's Nuts?
Yeah. Do you want to clear up the controversy around D's Nuts?
I like the way you also set it up. Coach, back in October, Josh Jacobs told us the D's Nuts story.
Did you happen to hear your former running back on the show? No, you didn't. Okay.
Oh, no, I did not.
All right.
Well, here, let me play it for you.
You know what I love about that, too? He says, well, yeah, I like to have some fun, and I like to, and I'm like, man, I can't tell if he's mad or not. Well, until then, he goes, well, at least they remember something. Yeah. Like, oh, okay, we're good. Yeah. We're good. I think we're good.
I was worried about it. I don't know if we've heard from Alabama's PR department.
Nothing negative.
No. Well.
Roll Tide.
Yeah. Oh, McLovin, you've done it again. Do you want to do it now, or you want me to take a break and come back with this, an update on the New England Patriots quarterbacking situation?
I think this is big enough to tease. These are some damning numbers, Dan Patrick.
Okay, all right. We'll take a break. McLovin has breaking news with the New England Patriots quarterbacking situation. And the great Bryan Cranston, one of the great actors of our time, will join us coming up. Got a new project there. We'll sneak in a Breaking Bad. Although, I still think Malcolm in the Middle is brilliant. I think his role as Hal was just brilliant. Yes, Paul.
You're on an island there where you think that Bryan Cranston's legacy may be Malcolm in the Middle yes, over Breaking Bad. That is Skip Bayless-ish.
Oh, I know. It is a hot take. But I look at Michael Scott with The Office, and I think Hal had that... I'm clueless as the parent in this family here, because he was just another one of his wife had Lois had two, you know, he was just another kid there. She was raising another a grown up kid. I don't know. Malcolm in the Middle. Great. 20 after the hour, we'll get to phone calls. The training camp update. We have the Traeger fired up. Are these Italian? Wait, what are these? Italian
beef French dip combo.
Oh, my goodness. I just went out there, and it looks spectacular. That's the way you wrap up a Wednesday. All right, we're back after this. Dan Patrick Show. LifeLock is here to tell you that you got to understand how identity theft and cybercrime works and how it will affect your life. If you lose your identity, you're in for a long haul, man. And you don't think about this until after the fact, but think about getting LifeLock now. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If they detect your information has been potentially compromised, they'll send you an alert. Then they have a U.S.-based agent who will help you fix this. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor transactions at all businesses. But you need to have that insurance. You need to have that person, that group that does this and looks out for you. LifeLock sees threats that you might miss on your own. Join now. Save up to 25% off your first year. Make sure you use the promo code Patrick. Save up to 25% off your first year. 1-800-LifeLock, or you can go to LifeLock.com. Use the promo code Patrick for up to 25% off. LifeLock.com. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. This award-nominated show brought to you by Mercedes-AMG. Be prepared for whatever comes your way. It's the all-new GT four-door coupe because life is a race. Visit your local dealership for a test drive today. If you missed any of our interviews this week or any week from the Mercedes-AMG Man Cave, go to the Dan Patrick Show app or danpatrick.com. Watch and listen from inside the Mercedes-AMG Man Cave. Mercedes-AMG driving performance. McLovin, before I get to Brian Cranston, your breaking news from New England Patriot camp.
Longtime Patriots reporter Jeff Howe evaluates quarterbacks. Rough days for the QBs, but Hoyer was the best of the three. 12 of 19, no picks. Cam Newton, 8 of 16, two picks. Jared Stidham, 12 of 18, two interceptions.
Who wants to bet on who's the starting quarterback for the Patriots week one?
Well, I will.
Okay. You're taking?
Cam.
Okay. Seton?
Cam.
Paulie?
Stidham.
I want to do Stidham, but I'm going to root for Cam. So I'm going to say Cam just because I want that story to happen. Because he makes them really interesting. Other than that, Patriots aren't very interesting. This guy's always interesting. Just ask him. He'll tell you. He is Brian Cranston, the actor. I don't even know how to introduce you. You're a lot of things. But you're a friend of the show, and therefore we're friends of whatever you do. So it's great to see you. How are you?
I'm good, Dan. I'm just getting through like everybody else. Like our entire country is just trying to figure out what this new normal looks like when we all go back to work and all that stuff. It's odd. It's also odd how we're also adapting to it and just kind of accepting the new protocols and things of work.
But I see where there's things being Keanu Reeves is doing Matrix in Berlin, I think, or someplace. Like, just trying to, like, how does an actor get together to do projects here if you can't go or social distancing or travel, all those things?
It's difficult, especially in our business where intimacy is inherent in the work. I mean, embracing, lovemaking, kissing, shaking hands. I mean, it's all part of storytelling. And so it's going to be extremely difficult for film production at any scale, any significant scale, to be able to come back before a vaccine. So we'll see.
But then you got COVID back in, what was that, April when you got it?
March, even. The first week when we were shut down, I was doing a limited series in New Orleans called Your Honor, and it was having a good time. We had about two more episodes to shoot. Shut down on the 13th of March. By the following week, I was diagnosed with COVID. It was like bang, bang.
And, you know, what was the symptoms? Or did you know you were sick?
Well, first, my wife tested, and she was tested positive. And I just assumed, well, we've been together for the last 10 days straight. It's impossible not to get it from her. So, and I did. We were very fortunate that our symptoms were very mild. We had a couple days of achiness, and then, about a week of absolute exhaustion. It's just one of those times you just can't sleep enough.
Who's a better COVID testing positive actor, you or Tom Hanks?
Oh, there's no question that I excel at testing positive. there's a little a weird competition. Look, men are men.
I know.
Stupid anyways. So Tom told me about, he gave me the address and the contact name of the person to set up to have me start a plasma donation program. And so I did. And I said, you know, over time, your antibodies will diminish and your plasma may not be as effective as they hope. So hopefully you can do it twice or three times. And so I'm going back actually day after tomorrow for my third donation of plasma. And that, and I just wanted to find out from Tom. So how potent was your antibodies? How many times were you able to do it? You know, that's a shame. Only twice. My antibodies are strong, my friend.
Doesn't it bother you how nice Tom Hanks is?
He's no, you know what? I mean, the truth is, you can't even joke about it because he's so good. I've worked with him. He's given me a job. I've worked with him like 4 times. And I've really learned from him how to behave. Not that I was going to misbehave, but how to step up and embrace that responsibility of being the leader of a cast, which sets the tone for the entire shoot, and how he conducts himself, his comportment. Yeah. He goes to work, he's prepared, he's got a good attitude, has a blast, a couple, you know, gags and things going on, keeps the set loose, knows everybody's name, and then goes home. So all the drama is in the show and not around the show, and that's why everybody loves to work with him. And there are, you know, a few people who have that reputation, and he's one, and I was fortunate enough to learn from that.
Where are you right now? Are you at your house?
I'm at my house, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, in Los Angeles.
You didn't dress up the backdrop. You got like a ladder, you got a piece of art, you got...
Yeah, it's like a piece of art. What do you mean I didn't dress up my background?
Well,
just because, look at you, you have tchotchkes all over the place.
Yes, yes, I love tchotchkes.
Jeez,
Tom Hanks would have an Oscar behind him right now if he was on this show.
No, that's why he wouldn't have an Oscar behind him. That's how good he is.
I got a couple of Emmys around here too that I just like are straggling. A couple over here.
How come you don't put him in the shot?
That would be rubbing it in. It's just not fair.
What, rubbing it into your competition?
Yes.
Who do you feel is your biggest competitor
as Brian turns the tables on Mr. Patrick. Okay, I see what you've done there.
Yes.
Who is my... It's me, because I compete with myself every day. There's nobody who could provide something who would make me feel like that's a direct competitor. There are great people in this business, but I compete against myself. What, the Danettes are calling BS over there?
Come on.
Are you Andy Reid? What kind of answer was that?
I was trying to be politically correct. Okay.
Go get him.
Who is my competition, Danettes?
Like,
Paulie?
Well, like a list of people you hate that you compete against? I can get that.
I can't do the ones hate.
Don't mention the hate ones. Don't mention them.
All right. So, yeah, you could have dressed it up there a little bit. That's all.
Oh, God, that's how you subterfuge.
Yes.
The question was, who do you feel you're in competition with? Who do you look at and go, that guy is good, or that woman is really good at what she does? I wish I can rise to that level.
Well, Bob Costas is always going to be there. I mean,
isn't he?
Yeah. I mean, he's okay. But he's in my sights, even though he's got, I think, about 28 more sports Emmys than I do. But I there's things that I take from people that I admire, like Al Michaels, his ability to have composure in the biggest moments. There's so many that I look at, but anybody who wins a sports Emmy, I'm in competition with them automatically.
Well, do you do any play-by-play?
No.
Do you do anything like that?
No.
Is that something you've wanted to do?
I'm not good at it. I could never capture what I grew up listening to. And I have such great respect for those who do it that I thought I didn't want to get in the way of somebody who I thought could do it better than me. And that's the one part of this business that I didn't have confidence in. The other part, you know, hosting the Olympics or, you know, a Super Bowl or doing a show, entertaining, you know, a nation, you know, those are things that come naturally to me. But,
entertaining a nation.
Yes, I was waiting for the reaction. It was a delayed reaction there from you on that.
I was trying to prevent myself from choking up.
What actor do you hate?
We don't have enough time,
Paulie. Do you have the list of guys that
Hugh Jackman?
Oh, you hate Hugh Jackman, don't you?
Oh, my God. He is so – I hate him because he's so nice, so talented, so handsome.
Yep.
I just I wish he would crash and burn that guy.
Did you see – I was thinking of you. Ryan Reynolds sold his gin for $600 million.
Yeah, he did. That's an expensive bottle of gin. Wow.
But, you know, you got Clooney. See, it's not fair. Clooney, $1 billion for his tequila. $600 million for Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, it's stupid money. It's stupid. We have, you know, Aaron Paul and I have our Mezcal Dos Hombres.
Yes.
And it's going incredibly well. We're selling, like, insane amounts. I think people are just drinking.
They are. I'm right there with them. You know?
Yeah. I'm telling you, but the cocktails are tasty, and as long as you know, keep it in check. And, you know, from time to time, I will go. I'll say, I'm not going to drink it all this week or 2 weeks. I just won't drink it all. Yeah, and then I go off and I have a couple drinks and it's nice. You want to be able to control that.
But when's the last time you were upside down?
Evan? Oh, probably 25 years ago. No, that's there's something, you know. There's a mechanism within boys that is stuck most of the time. And that is knowing when you've had enough. It just, it's like you think you can control it, and then all of a sudden you're out.
It taps you on the shoulder, and it goes, "Uh-oh, made that same mistake." Explain to me the one and only Ivan. This is a Disney movie based off a book, and I saw the reviews. I didn't get to see the movie. I just saw the reviews, which look like they're very do you read reviews?
No. No, I stopped reading reviews about 7 years ago or so when I did a movie and a reviewer came out and made a bunch of assumptions and comments that were really unfair and wrong in the assumption. Yeah. And I thought, well, this just irritates me. And you know, doing theater, it's not going to change your performance. You do all the work to present what you do, and if someone doesn't like it, then they don't like it. But I just realized that it doesn't help me. Even the positive reviews, I don't know. I don't need that kind of support. I feel good about what I'm doing, and I present it, do the best I can, and then if people like it, great. If they don't, that's okay too.
I'd explain it because it's on Disney Plus beginning this Friday, and it's a family movie, and I know that Angelina Jolie is in, Sam Rockwell, Danny DeVito, just some of the people in there. But explain the concept of the one and only Ivan.
Well, this was based on a true story. There was a husband and wife in Tacoma, Washington, that adopted a lowland gorilla, a baby from Africa, when its family was wiped out by poachers. And this is, I mean, a baby in diapers. And they would take this baby in a stroller to the park, put it in swings. It drew all kinds of attention, and news media was all over it. It was quite a thing. But this lowland gorilla grows up to be a silverback gorilla, of course, and doing what gorillas do inside a person's home is destroy it, climbing on things, pulling off the refrigerator door because they're curious, and opening up the couch. I mean, it destroyed this house, and it actually destroyed the marriage in real life. Well, it came time that the guy who's my character, he wanted to do something to keep his son with him. So he rented a defunct shopping mall, an indoor shopping mall in Tacoma, and put his beloved son, Ivan, in that, and had a de facto circus. And people would come from all around to see Ivan. And then he got other animals in other cages, and there they were. That's where we take the story from a Disney aspect, and we expand on it in a fantastic way. And the animals all talk to each other and communicate with each other. And then the live action humans cannot understand what the animals are saying, but we think they do. We've always had that anthropomorphism where we think our dogs hear us and understand what we're saying, and vice versa. And it's fantastic. It's about promise keeping and allowing yourself to dream. It's about friendship, and it's about letting go and maybe doing the right thing. This film, The One and Only Ivan, you're with your family, you can watch it, a six-year-old, 106-year-old, you're going to get something out of it. You're going to cry, and you're going to smile and laugh. It's really a lot of fun.
It'll be on Disney Plus beginning this Friday. It's called The One and Only Ivan. And you being a method actor, you actually lived with a gorilla for a couple of months in your house. Is that true?
And my wife called the divorce attorney almost immediately.
Really? Yeah.
And, but now this gorilla and I are having a relationship.
Tom Hanks would do that.
Yeah, no, yeah. So would Costas.
Yeah. But you would acknowledge Costas is better than me, right?
I would acknowledge that Costas has that fluidity, that encyclopedia mind to bring up those anecdotes and things like that.
Brian, you're supposed to say no.
Oh, no, he's not better than, that's right. I'm sorry, I forgot.
You know, when you've been on, I say, you're the best actor of our generation. With the, you know, I don't
am
say
I
one
to say
of.
No? Am I supposed to say, no, that's not true.
Well, you maybe fake humility, you can do that. Does your wife ever say, are you acting or are you being honest?
No. Robin and I have a great relationship. We've been together for 33 years, and it's just terrific. And even more so now in this pandemic, I think we've deepened that. I think this situation will either expose the fragility of a marriage or deepen it.
And why'd you get serious? I was just having a little bit of fun where you might be trying to act with your wife and, you know, she'd be like, do you really think I look good in this outfit? Are you acting, Brian?
Listen, as any good husband, the answer is always yes, unless she says, do you think I look fat in this outfit? Then it's no.
Yeah.
Do you like my hair? Yes.
Yes.
Do you like the color?
Yes.
Do you like this dress?
Yes.
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 That is the test for any new husband.
Well, we're both actors, so we obviously connect on that wavelength.
I've got a Bob Costas story.
Is it good? Is it going to make me feel?
Is it good? So you want me to qualify my story first to go?
Can you tell it in a minute?
No, I can't.
Oh, okay. Next time.
Next time.
When you dress up the your office or whatever that is, you know what? Please. Next time, have Tom Hanks over in the background. That would be awesome.
Okay. You know what? I am such a fan of Bob Costas. He will forever live in his shadow.
Thank you, Brian. Good luck with the movie.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Dan. It's good to talk to you guys.
That's Brian Cranston, Disney's The One and Only Ivan. It's available Friday, Disney Plus. Take a break, back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR, or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show. We have final results of the poll question. This day in sports history, somebody's got to do snowboards since Fritzy's not here, so maybe Mario can do that. Meat Friday, sports are back, Traeger Grill fired up today, and this might be the best thing that we make on the Traeger Grill. Italian beef, it is awesome. TraegerGrills.com/DP Show, and you can get cooking. Let me get to Jeff in Detroit. What up, Doe?
What up, Doe? I got to get a poster of you on my wall. When you said, Coach, would you like to comment on these nuts? I had to pull over, and I lost the contact for laughing so hard, Dan. You are my true hero. And it makes me wonder, is Ethan somewhere in the back asking McLovin, you always want to crunch some numbers, crunch these stats. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Listen, real quick, I'm right there with you about the college situation. Took my nephew up to Michigan State. You know, we got them all settled in. And here they come sending him an email saying that all undergrads will be taking classes online. It's an hour and a half trip from Detroit to Lansing. And, I mean, you could have saved so much money, but like you said, when there's money involved, you know how it goes, man.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff. It's about tuition and TV. That's what I was told today by a source. That's why it's not out of the realm of possibilities that if I'm at the SEC, ACC, Big 12, I'm going to ask my student body, and I can do this under the umbrella of protecting them, that we're going to take classes online on campus. And therefore, look at North Carolina. Now I can put my football team in a bubble. They're not exposed to these other students when they're in class. You have them be smart when it comes to socializing, social distancing. As a conspiracy theory, it's not a bad one. McLovin, final results of the poll question.
Who should be more worried, the Lakers or the Bucks? Up to 81% Lakers.
Yeah. Anthony in California. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
On this final live YouTube broadcast, I want to give a final shout-out to Chat Row and say we all look forward to seeing you on Peacock and hope you can get a Chat Row platform up as soon as possible.
And we are working on that, and I told Tyler...
I got an important question for you, Dan.
Pretty important. Okay.
Yeah. With all the grief that you've been giving my Brooklyn buddy Fritzy, did we hear you admit to some sort of cheating scandal in college? Because I damn near fell off my couch earlier.
No, I don't know. In high school, I did, but not in college.
With the D minus?
Well, no, I didn't cheat to get a D minus. But thank you, Anthony. And we are working on a Chat Row platform. We are working on that. Peacock is trying to help us. So just so you know, don't pile on Tyler and keep asking him. We're trying to get it done. Yes, Eden.
The D minus is just a way to throw them off the trail of the bees.
Oh, okay. Yeah, in high school, you know, I made sure I sat next to a friendly neighbor, but not in college. Nah, you don't need to cheat in college. All right, this day in sports history, Paulie.
1995, Dan. Mike Tyson knocked out Peter McNeely in just 89 seconds.
And I worked with Peter McNeely's brother at ESPN. And, oh, man, he was so excited his brother was getting a chance. And then you watch that fight, and I couldn't help but feel for Peter's brother. Well, Peter, too. let's go around the room what we learned on the program. Since Fritzy's not here, McLovin?
Nick Saban basically confirmed D's nuts.
Yes, he did. Seton O'Connor Jr.
Nick Saban has officially commented on D's nuts.
No, I know. Well, I asked and he answered. Paulie?
Let's see the sports Emmy people say no to the D's nuts segment.
What did I learn, McLovin?
You learned that Bryan Cranston, actually, you wouldn't go there when he asked your top competition. We were disappointed.
What we learned brought to you by LegalZoom. Start online, network of independent attorneys. They provide advice when you need it the most. Since LegalZoom isn't a law firm, you don't have to leave your home. Visit LegalZoom.com today for more information. We're off the next couple days. We'll talk to you on Monday.